go. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. It is Friday. We made it through a very, very tough week in America. Our hearts go out to all those impacted by the terror attack in Boston and then the industrial accident so devastating in the community of West Texas. Too many lives gone this week, and in the case of the survivors, so many lives really changed forever. We thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we are live Monday through Friday at noon on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and we post the program, make it available for you on the podcast. If you'd like to go that route, you can listen to us anytime, anywhere. Folks do listen, believe it or not, all over the world. So you can check it out at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. All post the show. And we have links on the homepages of the Green Valley News. That's gvnews.com. And we're also on blogforarizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Dr. John Pettacone, superintendent of the TUSD, Tucson Unified School District, which the last time I checked was still the second largest school district in the state of Arizona. Dr. Pettacone announced recently that he will step aside in the coming months after 2 years as TUSD's top educator. Joining me to question Dr. Pettacone, Sarah Garrett-Gasson is with us in studio. Sarah is editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Pettacone, I now declare the Buckmaster Show live line officially open at 790-2040. Dr. Pettacone would be happy to hear from you with any questions or comments that you might have. The Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show today is sponsored by the City of Benson, Arizona, home of the 8th Annual Bluegrass in the Park Festival, April 26th through the 28th, featuring bluegrass performers from all over the West. The 8th Annual Bluegrass in the Park Festival in Benson is only, Benson's only 45 miles east of Tucson at I-10. It's April 26th through the 28th. More information at BensonVisitorCenter.com. Dr. Pettacone, do you like bluegrass music, or do you go in for more of the hard rock?
Well,
being a child of the 60s, like myself here.
That's right. We were talking about that. And I like all kinds of music, and bluegrass is great.
Well, don't you sing opera?
Not opera, but I have sung professionally in a number of different venues. But you can take your own guess at what kind of music it is after you hear it.
Welcome to the program again, and welcome to you, Sarah, as well.
Thank you.
Dr. Pettacone, what is the timetable now for you're leaving the board. You're going to stick around until a replacement has been found?
Yeah, I talked with the board. The actual date of resignation was established as the 30th of June, provided that they find a replacement. If not, I plan on staying with the district until we can do that, so we leave the district in good shape.
What kind of – well, leaving the district, what kind of district will the new person, he or she, inherit?
Well, the district continues to be complicated, as everyone knows, and we serve a very diverse population and in a large area, a lot of issues that are not going to go away in terms of the clientele that we serve across the district. And when you have an urban district and you're dealing with underserved populations that deserve resources and deserve a lot of attention, you're going to get complexity. But I think over the past 2.5 years, I'm really, really proud of the people that work in this district and that have gotten together around a common vision to improve the things that are important. So the person that comes in will find a district where we've got a trajectory of improved achievement, and that's been demonstrated over the past couple of years. Hopefully, as the AIMS tests come forward again this spring and the labels for schools come forward, that we'll continue to see an improvement in that area. We've really worked at fixing the systems, which is what I've talked about for the past couple of years. So, we were under 13 audits, Bill, when we first came into the district, and all
13?
Of them – 13 Whoa. Individual audits, from ADM audits to audits dealing with, as you can remember, issues that happened in the district as a result of some technology issues, audits across virtually every area of the district, and we've eliminated all of them except for the three that all districts now are expected to have every year. You know, we've basically tried to fix business practices. You know, the person will come in with E-rate money now, a little over $10 million, moving toward $11 million worth of infrastructure in place. And we're not a perfect district, and I don't know that this district ever will be perfect. I don't know of any organization that is.
But times the perception that's out there to the public is that it's a loser district.
It's, you know, and that's what I think I've tried to communicate for 2.5 years. And I came in with lots of preconceptions, and what I've learned and I've said many times is that this is a good district with people, by and large, that care about what we're doing. I just left Palo Verde High School. Mm-hmm. And you may remember one of the first things that we had to do was to make some decisions on both Palo Verde and Rincon. And they were controversial decisions like any decision of importance. And we turned those schools around, which you remember meant basically turning staff over and getting new leadership in those schools. You go to Palo Verde right now, and they have an emphasis on engineering where they've just taken an award. It's really a statewide regional award that's part of a national competition in robotics. We've got an engineering strand there that's remarkable. We've got hydroponics that are being developed on that campus to take a look at infusing a science strand through that school. Mm-hmm. And we have improved achievement. And once again, you're going to see – I'm convinced you'll see Palo Verde. So it's one example, Bill, of what goes on in this district. So that perception is just not true.
Here's Sarah Garrett-Gass. Of the Star.
A lot of people say, oh, TUSD is just so big and it's too big and we need to break it up, or the balkanization of TUSD. What do you think about that? Is the district too big? Is there a size issue in terms of levels of efficiency, things being just too bureaucratic? What do you think from your view inside?
Well, when you ask the question directly, is it too big? The answer is no. If you ask whether or not there are things that are getting in the way of this district operating efficiently and effectively, the answer is yes. But I could point out the largest district in the state is Mesa. Mesa has its share of issues, but not like Tucson Unified. And so you have to ask, what's the difference between those two districts? And I think you'll find that it's a cultural issue. And by culture, I mean the way in which the district has developed its sense of identity, who it is, and what it believes in values. And over time, I think a lot of those things were not either weren't driven toward a common understanding, like great districts do. And the result is that it's become scattered. And the work of leadership and the work of the district is to get a common vision to make that happen. So it isn't about being too big. It's about whether or not, in its size, you capitalize on the fact that the larger you are, there are some opportunities you have that smaller organizations can't take advantage of. And I could go down the list of those things. But I did some work for the U.S. Department of Ed over the years, and we looked at blue ribbon schools nationally. And I could name districts across this country that are twice the size of this one and larger. You know, one that comes to mind is Long Beach Public Schools. Complex, difficult, and yet it's a district that has quality as its characteristic. So I believe Tucson Unified needs to be there.
Caller who did not want to go on the air, and by the way, we encourage anyone to call in 790-2040, and you do not need to go on the air and have your voice out over the air. You can do what this caller just did, wants me to ask Dr. Petticone, will Dodge Middle School be moving into the Townsend facilities to allow more students in that high-performing school?
Yeah, I think that decision the board talked about the last board meeting, and at this point there's no decision to do that. I think the issue that was discussed was, if you've got a really good school like Dodge, shouldn't you expand it and grow it? And I think the board's discussion in public was, let's be sure that we don't lose the very quality of what makes Dodge effective, and let's consider some other things that we're talking about doing. For example, the board has given administration the charge to come together with a plan for University High School. And one of the parts of the plan was to look at developing a middle school on the University High School campus and developing a very, very different model than we've had there before. So we're developing that now. By November, there'll be a plan in place to give to the board that they can take a look at and decide whether they want to do so. You've got to be kind of careful about how you look at schools that are high-achieving middle schools and make sure that you do the right thing.
All right. Why don't we take the break actually right here? This would be a good time. When we come back, Sarah Garrett-Gasson will be asking Dr. Petticone a question on our Friday Focus interview. We'll be right back.
Hi, Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever, with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. John Petticone, who will be with the TUSD School Board as superintendent until a successor is named, is with us in studio for our Friday Focus interview. And Sarah Garrett Gaston is here from the Arizona Daily Star. 790-2040, if you have any education questions relating to TUSD, we'd love to hear from you. Sarah, you're up.
I wanted to find out more about another kind of common thought about TUSD, which is the relationship between whoever is superintendent, and there have been many over the past decade, and whoever is on the board. Because it seems to me that there's if there's a good working relationship, unless it's someone who for other family reasons or whatever, that there wouldn't be – I mean, it's a high-profile district that there wouldn't be a lot of reasons to leave. So can you shed some light on that relationship between the superintendent perhaps institutionally and the board? And is it the case that board members kind of meddle or they show up at schools? Because these are all things that everyone hears and is kind of the common perception of how TUSD operates or doesn't.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. As you know, the way the model is supposed to work is that boards govern and create policy, and they hire really one employee, and that's the superintendent who is charged with doing the work. And then, of course, all hires go before the governing board for approval. But generally, the superintendent and the team that works with him or her is charged with doing the work of the day. When it works well, you have that relationship maintained throughout all decision-making, and it works. And I would submit to you, when you look at a lot of districts in this region and across the country, you'll see different variations of that relationship. When it comes to urban districts like Tucson Unified, or for that matter, talk to any urban superintendent in any city, industrialized or otherwise, epicenter, and I think you'll hear the same thing, that there's this tension between board members that have to get elected by a diverse constituency. And interestingly, I would argue, and some board members disagree, that it isn't like a city council. It's not like a board of supervisors. Your constituency, once you get elected, is the entire community in a very real sense. So when you're thinking about the politics of a district like Tucson Unified, there's tremendous tension that comes from people feeling very, very differently about a lot of issues, and they're much more vocal about those issues in a place like ours. So board members are kind of confronted with how do I maintain what I believe is my duty to a constituency that expects me to do the things that I said I was going to do when I ran in a campaign, and perhaps the work that needs to be done when you get involved in what actually happens within a school district. So the tendency is to try to get more involved to be able to give, and I understand it, answers to constituencies. And there's a line that's crossed where it becomes destructive to the district and becomes destructive to the operational model. And it becomes difficult for the leader to do the work. And so I think that exists and will continue to exist in urban kind of diverse, complex districts differently than you'll see it in other districts, even in this region. So I would ask you, how many board members do you know by name in other districts? And when I ask that question to most people, they can't answer it.
Very few.
But you'll know the board members in Tucson Unified, many of them, because they feel as though with as large a population as they serve, they need to be sure that people know what they stand for. And I respect that. I understand it. So to answer your question, the superintendent and the board have to have covenants and agreements that they stand forward with and that they live with. They agree to it and they don't break it. And then the relationship works well. And you've seen over time, as I have, varying examples of that in this district where it worked and where it didn't work. And so we work at that on an ongoing basis to try to navigate through those tensions and try to do what's right.
When you said that there's kind of a line that sometimes can get crossed, can you give us a concrete example of that? Like, what does that mean?
Sure. Well, if there's an issue that comes up from a constituent and they say, I'll give you an example of on a very regular basis, a constituent complains to a governing board member about something that's happening in the school, something that's happening with a principal, happening with a teacher. What should the board member's response be to that constituent? If I'm the board member, I'm going to say, let me find out what's going on, and I'll get this to the right person. The right thing to say, I believe, is I will get this to staff immediately, and they will handle it. Okay, and then the board member turns it over to me. I turn it over to whoever is responsible for doing it, and then I get back to that parent. Now, if I do my job, the parent gets satisfied, and the board member finds out what's happened, and the board member's done their work. If the board member, on the other hand, says, let me find out about it, I'll take care of this, and then they enter into the solution for the problem, then they take on an operational responsibility that I believe will get them in trouble and in some cases can impede the process of trying to help that parent out. So those are the kinds of discussions that we have to have, and it's a good example. It happens all the time because constituents, eventually if the board does the right thing, I believe, and they say the right thing, they will drive people to the right source, and that's to administration that can help solve their problem. The last thing I'll say about it is if we don't, if a parent feels exhausted in their effort to try to get satisfaction, then I don't blame him for going to a governing board member, and I don't blame a governing board member for saying, I want to know exactly what's going on. So it works both ways. I've got to do my job to be sure I follow through and give board member a license to do their job.
So you're talking about micromanaging, the board right. micromanaging mm-hmm. The job that really should be done to staff, to TUSD staff.
Right. We have a remarkable – you know, people vilify administration and leadership. I don't know any organization that operates effectively that doesn't have strong leadership. I haven't seen it. So the boards have to have faith that the staff and the team that work for them are going to do the work and do it well. The trouble in this district has been that hasn't always been the case, and nobody's Pollyanna about that. So I don't blame the community for questioning and being suspicious. But eventually they have to see when things continue to improve, as I believe they have with the team that's in this district right now and the people that are committed in schools to improvement, they have to eventually begin to say, you know what, we're on the right track. We're not going to not be vigilant. We're going to continue, in quotes, a level of oversight, but we can relax a bit because we know that the right things are going on. You're going to hear of problems in this district as long as we operate. There'll be things that happen that are out of our control. But if you have a team like we do in this district right now, the cabinet that I have is a team that I work with are remarkable people, and they're doing the work well. And I think you've seen that in the outcomes that you've seen over the past couple of years. Give them license to do their work. Recognize the work when they do it well. Let them know that and encourage it, and then they'll continue to work hard.
Do you know of districts that have succession plans where it would be internal? In other words, what if TUSD, what if you were to have a say over who the next superintendent would be? You say you've got a fantastic cabinet. What if some of those people would be involved, be next in line?
Well, I think effective organizations develop succession plans. I really believe that. And unfortunately, I can say that the cabinet that we have right now, there are people that I think are aspiring leaders that will be there to be able to take leadership positions in the future. And there are one or two people that if they choose to apply should be considered. But we haven't had – I'll admit this completely. We haven't had the ability to not only bring in, as I'd hoped to, some really effective leaders that might be in line for exactly what you're talking about. My deputy, for example, is a person who was a former superintendent in two other districts. And
who is that?
And that's Dr. Maria Manconi, and she's just a remarkable leader. But she's retired as well, and this for her was, as it was for me, a mission and an opportunity to try to help do something that is very, very difficult. And if we could move the district, we felt that way from the very beginning, and get it moving in the right direction, then we would have done what we intended to do. So she's not really in line to take over a superintendency again. But the next superintendent will have a chance to hire a deputy that will be able to do that, and hopefully will be able to develop what you're talking about.
Sarah, go ahead. I think we can get another question in.
One about the differences. I know you come from Flowing Wells, which mm-hmm. is a unified school district, which is a district that is known for its sense of community. Everyone I talk to in that district has roots one way or the other. And you went from that situation and experience to TUSD, which kind of has the opposite. I mean, I think I've always gotten the idea that people identify with their neighborhood school or maybe their high school, but not with the district. So could you talk a little bit about the differences, the cultural differences within those two districts and what one can learn from the other?
And real, it's going to have to be real quickly because I do have a caller who I'd like to get into. So
okay.
Very quickly.
Yeah, I think you're right. It established over time was the culture that Flowing Wells had, that it's about the whole organization. And so we've worked at trying to make big small. We have a lot of constellations, and previous administrations sought to make it more about the site itself rather than about how the site and the organization work together. So if we had more time, I could talk about how we've worked to try to improve that in this district and get that same feeling to exist here.
Rick, let's go ahead. Rick is up on the Buckmaster Show live line. Quick question for John Petticone. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, John, I realize you're in a politically delicate situation, but don't you feel you have a responsibility to inform the citizens as a whole you're in your position as to the reality of what needs to really happen with the board and to really put a state of reality out there so the citizens understand so that we have a better way of knowing what is actually happening over there because the newspapers have a tendency to write whatever they want, but coming directly from you would be much more beneficial.
Real quickly, Dr. Pettigone.
Yeah, I think you've got board members on this current board that are committed to trying to do what's right. I think that what you're going to see is a very, very difficult tension-filled spring with a number of values and ideologies that are going to be in conflict with each other. As we begin to look at the whole school closure consolidation issue and a $17 million deficit, I believe the board has got to make hard decisions about things that are not going to be pleasant and they're going to affect people. So if you have a board that is kind of that aligns with one group or another, it's going to be hard to separate to do something that benefits all individuals and make those right decisions. So you'll know more about whether or not this board is operating effectively as you see the decisions made this spring.
John Pettigone, Dr. John Pettigone, good luck to you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. We're going to come up on our Reporters Roundtable next. Stay with us. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The transit police officer, who authorities say was severely wounded overnight by the Boston Marathon bombing suspects, is out of surgery now and has been stabilized. A transit agency spokesman says that Officer Richard Donahue remains in critical condition. One of the bombing suspects was killed during a violent chase. The other remains at large and is the subject of that huge manhunt that's still going on in the Boston area. Connecticut State Police say they've received information from investigators in Boston that the at-large suspect in the marathon bombing may be traveling in a green Honda Civic. They're now looking out for such a vehicle. Updating Wall Street, the Dow currently unchanged, while the NASDAQ is up 39 points and the S&P ahead 12. More details at srnnews.com.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Row. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
This is John Fina.
You're...
This is Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
I'm Bruce Peek.
Hey there.
This is Andy Brown.
Great to see you.
Hi, this is Bert Williams.
I thought I just saw you at...
This is Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
My name is Jerry Fitzgerald.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
This is Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
This is Rita Marshall.
I didn't know you were coming.
This is Bill Huss.
Can I get you anything?
Hi.
Richard White.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at BearMountainLodge.com.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. Time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who are kind enough to come in and spend a half an hour with us here on the Buckmaster Show to share their views on some of the week's top stories. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable today, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star, editorial writer and columnist
yes.
for the Arizona Daily Star. And I know I wanted to add that because I, Linda Valdez, I hadn't been putting the fact that she's also a columnist for the Republic and part of our team here on the Roundtable. And I want to duly note
thank you.
That you have a column.
Thank you. They are a little different. People may not understand. But
you do have a column every Thursday in the Arizona Daily Star. Also with us, Dan Scheer. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. If you have a comment or question for us, we are always open for you here. 790-2040. We usually put just about everybody who calls in. Rose screens the calls, but we put you on if you've got a question or comment. Very little censorship here on the Buckmaster Show. Dan Scheer, you survived a bee attack.
Yeah, we had...
How many bees were going after you?
50,000 bees up in our little community in Sarita, and I pulled up, and it was the evening, it was last week, I think, maybe 2 weeks ago, and we had, you pull up on a scene, and whenever you see fire trucks, you expect to see people out there watching to see what goes on. Well, I get out of my car, and there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing going on. I thought, what is... bees, because I didn't smell smoke. Okay, so it is bee season. It's snake season. They're out. This is the time of year. It turns out that these bees had been building a hive in the crawl space of a home for more than 2 years, and the people did not notice it, which is not uncommon. But they survey your property. If you notice something a little unusual, call somebody. Now, the fire department's not going to come out unless it's a threat, and these bees had been attacking several people in the neighborhood, attacked some dogs. One of them nearly died. But this is the season where they're really going to be out there. So if you're in the desert, you're walking your animals, whatever, really be careful. We're going to get two or three good attacks down in Green Valley. It happens every summer.
Yeah, there won't be good attacks, but there'll be big attacks. And don't jump in the swimming pool. That's one thing.
No,
Sarah.
They wait for you.
Yeah, they'll.
They do.
They'll outwait. Wait.
Yes,
yeah,
they will.
They have patience.
Yes, and they also they're Africanized, and so they behave differently and a lot more aggressively than your. I guess you would call them normal honeybees.
Right.
Yeah. I think of that line in the movie To Have or Have Not, when Lauren Bacall is constantly asked in that 1944 movie, ever been stung by a bee?
I've only been stung once, and it was enough, so I don't want any more.
Yeah. I want to begin, Sarah, with a guest column from our friend Terry Bracey. Terry is a regular contributor once a month. He gives us the insight in what's going on in Washington here on the Buckmaster Show, and he has a very interesting op-ed piece. Terry was the Assistant Secretary of Transportation under President Carter, and he helped lead the administration's campaign to win congressional approval of mandatory airbag installations in autos sold in this country. But he writes about mandatory gun insurance
that could impose order on the now chaotic gun policies. Terry sees this as a possibility, perhaps a sensible solution to the gun control debate.
Yeah, what he and the pieces in the Arizona Daily Star today, you can find it online. Or in the paper, if you would like to buy the paper. But what he's saying is an idea that is very – we don't even think about it really when it comes to cars, when it comes to other things that have potential to cause injury. And that is to acknowledge that, yes, this object, whatever it is, has the potential to cause great harm. And so what he's saying is, why don't we think of guns in that way and require – people to buy insurance, where if you're going to have this weapon, it has the potential, maybe not in your hands, but accidental shootings happen, unfortunately, mm-hmm. all too often, not to mention theft, things like that, that it's a way to get people to think about the responsibilities that come with owning a gun.
And there'd be a pricing factor built into this, Dan Scheer.
Right. And I would hate for anybody to think that this could take the place of background checks, which unfortunately got deep six this week. But this has been proposed in Congress. Representative Carolyn Maloney out of New York has proposed the Firearm Risk Protection Act, and it would include insurance premiums on your guns. And as Sarah said, it would cause some people to pause. Would it really, you know, is it going to weed out bad people? No. I wonder if it is an effort to stop some people from owning lots and lots of guns because it would be cost prohibitive. But I think if somebody wants to own a lot of guns, they're going to find a way to do it.
Was there a lot of reaction to your column? We were talking about your column, which appears every Thursday, to the column, A Good Day for Criminals Who Want to Buy a Gun.
Yes. Let's just say that I am not very popular among a very vocal segment of people who like to comment anonymously online on the Arizona Daily Star. And I think I was mentioned on Twitter and by some other radio folks. So, yeah, but I stand by what I wrote. Senator Jeff Flake should be held accountable for his part in not upholding what people across the country want, and for basically fighting and defeating what is a very sensible piece of legislation, which would have closed the loophole and for background checks, because now if you go into a gun store for some guns dealers, you have to undergo a background check. But if I buy from someone on the internet, Craigslist, whatever, there's no background check. So I could be someone with a criminal record, with a very difficult mental health history, and you would have no way of knowing that, and you're just going to sell me the gun because you can. So the thing that I wrote about in my column is that I just had to get fingerprinted, and I got my fingerprint card and undergo a background check to volunteer in a local school. So
really?
To to use a book in the presence of a child, you need a background check. But to buy a gun, feel free. There's no rules, and there are people actively fighting.
And this is disappointing, Senator Flake's decision on this. We were out talking to lots and lots of people in Green Valley earlier this week about this very issue, kind of an on-the-street type thing. We could not find one person who supported the way he voted. They all like the idea of background checks. This is not a partisan issue. This is a safety issue, and really is I really don't understand why he did not go for it. And I have not heard yet a clear explanation directly from him about it either. He's posted some stuff on his Facebook, but I think he needs to put his big boy pants on and speak to us, not through social media like a 14-year-old, but like a senator, because I really think people want to know what he was thinking.
Well, we're hoping to have him on the show here in the coming weeks on our Friday Focus interview. News from Green Valley about TMC. Is that hospital, first of all, question one, is it going to be built? Question two, if so, by whom?
Right. Well, the developer says it's going to be built, and they're going to break ground later on this month. The problem is there's nobody to operate it. And so TMC had a memorandum of understanding, and they have backed out, and they just said, no, it's just not going to work for us. We have heard that Northwest was approached and has said, no, they won't tell us on the record whether or not that's the case. They are looking out of state for somebody to operate it. Everybody's saying it's going to go it's going to happen, and it'll be open next summer, which pushes it back a little bit. But I will tell you that Green Valley has had five previous promises of hospitals coming in at one stage or another they've gotten to, and it hasn't happened. I hope it happens. I think we could use it. I think it would be profitable. It would be good for the community. But we'll have to see. This is a big, big question mark right now.
Sarah, we had Representative Adam Quasman on the show this week, just a couple of days ago. I think it was Wednesday. He says he is leading the opposition to the governor's plan for Medicaid expansion, and he makes a prediction. He says it will be defeated. He says his side is gaining support.
Well, I am not flabbergasted to learn that Adam Quasman is confident in his own abilities to get things done the way he wants. I think that there obviously are people in the legislature that are fighting the Governor Brewer's very sensible decision to pursue Medicaid funding through the federal government. And I am not surprised that this has kind of turned into one of those issues where people sort of use not even code words, they're just flat out saying it, you know, alluding to the idea that, which is totally not correct, that abortion somehow has a role in all of this, which it doesn't. You can't use federal money to pay for abortion. So it's one of those red herrings that keeps coming up, but I hope that Mr. Quasman is wrong and that common sense prevails.
And time is moving forward here, Dan Scheer. I mean, we're at the end of April here, and we have to have a budget by the end of June. I could see this thing really going into the summer.
Oh, yeah. And
easily.
Anybody who thinks.
Not having a state budget.
Right.
That has all sorts of implications for state services, state workers, the university. I mean,
sure.
It's very conceivable there will be no budget by June 30th.
Yeah, 100-day session would be wonderful,
yes.
But we'll see.
Pima County, I want to talk about this road plan, Sarah, that was announced. Well, it's actually – it's kind of a cost analysis of what it would take to fix our roads. And Mr. Huckleberry said this week $268 million to bring all the roads up to par. Well, we're not going to have anywhere near that money.
No, no. People will complain about roads till the cows come home. And even then, even when the cows are tripping into potholes and they can't get
happens.
Out. But the road construction is one of those things that needs to happen. But it's also one of those things that people tend to kind of assume there's money somewhere else out there to fix it. And that is such a huge amount. I can't see that coming through easily, whether it's a bond or other means. I just it's not going to happen with that sort of giant amount.
I'll throw Tucson a bone here. We have our issues down in Green Valley as far as roads go, but it's nothing like it is in Tucson. It is, or the rest of Pima County, I should say. What a mess. So we hear a lot about it because the people down there just...
You're saying your roads in Green Valley are worse than the city
no,
of Tucson?
No, I would say that they're not, and therefore we need to...
not as bad.
Yeah, so we need to kind of step aside a little bit when it comes to the griping because we have some people who gripe really, really well. We do have some safety issues down there that really need to be addressed as far as roads are concerned. And certainly we have road issues too, but nothing like the rest of the county. So I can tell you that this needs to go through, though. It is some pretty bad situation.
We had a very spirited half an hour yesterday on the show. Rick Grinnell was speaking for the Rosemont Copper Mine. Randy Seriglio was speaking against it. Randy's from the Center for Biological Diversity. And one of the items that I know, Dan, you're following is a proposed copper mine just south of the border. How could that – why would that be a big issue for us?
Right. Well, the issue would come in the fact that the Santa Cruz River flows north. and into our country, and that this mine, which is open pit copper, roughly the size of Rosemont, a little bit smaller and only half the shelf life, if that's to be believed. And it has, it's not, there's no startup date. They're still looking for financing and everything. The question is how they're going to be extracting this. And they're using a solvent extraction process that could potentially pollute the river. And that's what people are really concerned about. And let's be honest here. Anytime you talk about this type of activity in Mexico and that we could be affected by it, there's a lot of concern. And there should be. So we're looking at it, and they're very close to the river, but again, they haven't started yet. But they also haven't been answering a lot of questions from the United States as far as how they're going to be running this operation. So it's really, a lot of people nervous right now.
Hey, people are still very, getting back to Rosemont, Sarah, it's just people seem very evenly divided on that issue.
Well, they...
I mean, it doesn't seem like there's been... I mean, I have no scientific polling in front of me here, but my gut feeling is there's been very little movement one way or the other. Now, perhaps you have a different take on it.
Well, just
your gut feeling.
My gut feeling is that there are people who are very, very much against having the mine come in. And I think those ranks are probably growing, and you hear from them much more than you do from the people, just the average citizens who want the mine to come in. The mine, however, does have proponents with business groups, other kind of institutional supporters. But I would say from just pure grassroots that it's the people who are trying to keep it from coming.
And Rick Grinnell said they've spent millions and millions, Rosemont. So
oh, absolutely. But
the 200 million, I think he said something like that.
Sure, it's nearing that. But the average person on the street probably doesn't like it.
Okay, Dan Scheer and Sarah Garrett-Gasson, thank you both for coming in, for spending a few minutes with us on your Friday afternoon tonight, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, we've got Weekend Watch with Matt Russell next.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
They always go above and beyond to make sure everything is just perfect.
Nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental.
They are one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with.
They maintain high standards and deliver five-star service.
Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Their selection is amazing, their advice terrific, and their service is remarkable.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Hey, you can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Oh, I love to hear that music because that means we are officially into the weekend in Tucson, Arizona. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is brought to you by Silver City, where they're getting ready for the huge bike race. This is a big-time event. Tour of the Gila. It's a 5-day bicycle stage race, May 1st through the 5th, over in Silver City, New Mexico. It's only 3.5 hours east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, and so many wonderful places to stay, including Spirit Canyon Lodge, Bear Paw Ranch, and Ridge Park RV Park. More information at southwestnewmexico.org. That music not only signals the weekend, but it is also the cue for award-winning publicist Inside Tucson Food and Beverage, with the emphasis on beverage, writer Matt Russell. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. It's good to be back home. I think I've been in 5 cities since the last Weekend Watch from last week, but it's always great to come home.
Well, it's always hard, I know, to drive the Oscar Mayer Wiener mobile when you travel on the road. It's hard to find a parking place in front of some of your favorite eateries.
I think I better take you up on that bike race out in Silver City.
tell me, there's another new restaurant opening.
You know, I'm finding it hard to keep up with all these new restaurants opening here in Tucson, Bill, but this one caught my eye. It's called Caribbean Steam.
Oh, you know I love the Caribbean.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Right over there on South Park Avenue, and they're going to be serving up a range of curries, but I hear their goat curry seems to be creating a bit of a buzz, as well as their jerk chicken and jerk pork and all the Caribbean standards. Now, I love an authentic Caribbean meal, so I'm going to give it a try this weekend. They're open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Now, Bill, when was the last time you had a good goat curry?
Oh, I don't know. The last time I was in Port of Spain, Trinidad Tobago, that's what they are known for. And, of course, the jerk chicken is well known in Jamaica. But that sounds like an interesting eatery. But what about the folks who like a occasional beer, not just a beer, but a craft beer?
Yeah, seriously. Rialto Park Racetrack is going to be the right place to be on Saturday if you, like I am, are a fan of the craft beer. It's the annual Springfest Beer Festival starting at 1 o'clock on Saturday, and more than 50 craft breweries from Arizona and across the country, in fact, are going to be serving up samples of their suds along with some live music and food from Tucson's best-known food trucks. So whether you like a nice ale or a lager or maybe a nice stout, The Spring Fest will have something for every palate.
Hey, Matt, blues and barbecue go together, don't they?
Yeah, you know, three of my favorite things, Zinfandel, blues, and barbecue, they're all packaged up for you on Sunday starting at 4 o'clock. 13th annual Zin Blues and Barbecue up at the Hacienda del Sol. More than 30 Zins to taste as you fill your plates with some serious cue, all while listening to, I think, some of the best live blues music this side of Memphis. The weather on Sunday, of course, Bill, as is all weekend, is going to be spectacular, and the food and the music can't be beat. So this event is definitely going to sell out, so I want all of your listeners to call 529-3500 for reservations. It's going to be a wonderful Sunday afternoon.
And I know, Matt, you joined me in wishing our friend Mike Fader of the Tucson Padres a happy birthday, and Mike invites everybody to come out to the ballpark tonight as we honor our police and firefighters. Matt, have a wonderful weekend.
You do the same, Bill. Cheers.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan. We love Culligan water, and why wouldn't we? It simply tastes better. Culligan offers the best drinking water, and they have a large variety of, in fact, the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business right here in Southern Arizona. This afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5. Wake Up Tucson will be Monday morning 6 to 8. But we want to tell you that the local talk continues on the weekend with the gardening show with Phil Cedar. We wish Phil the very best. He had some heart issues, and we understand he's doing very well. Phil Cedar, get well soon, my friend. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my producer, she is lovely, she is talented, she is Rosemary Brandt. Thank you, Rose, for everything you do to make this such a successful show. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.